Thank you very much. You know, you've heard a few talks so far about the utilization of precision ag approaches for not only identifying where nematode problems are in a field, but how we manage those. And it seems like we've made several good steps in the right direction, but if for those that work with nematodes all the time, it seems like for every two steps we make forward, we always have to take one back to kind of reevaluate some other issues we kind of continue to pull up. We have, you know, learned that we do have to include soil properties as one of the identifying factors to help understand why nematodes cause problems and how they can be controlled. This past year, or actually 2 years ago, we got introduced to another little minor problem that turned out to be more of a major problem than we thought, and that's the development of hard pans. And this is in areas where we have adapted reduced tillage practices in cotton. Most of our work in precision ag has not really dealt with the reduced tillage part of this. And so the hard pan has kind of made us reevaluate some things, not only with root knot, but again with soil-borne problems like the labiopsis or black root rot. Most of the studies that we've conducted here have been in northeast Arkansas on the Lyerly's farm. They've been gracious enough to work with us. And here we're just wanting to evaluate the effects of this tillage on the efficacy or the efficiency of our nematicides and seed treatments for these pathogens. Again, the field was chose because of the historical problems with root knot and black root rot in this field. And we were able to go in and develop a unique test where we go in and rip part of the field and leave the other part of the field non-ripped and replicate that through the field in order to make some very good assumptions and evaluate this. Everything was planted in April. Most of you are well aware of black root rot. There's been a couple of presentations on that. In Arkansas, it does cause us quite a bit of problems with cotton. And it's in over 70% of all of our fields where we do plant cotton. And it does form the synergistic interaction with root knot. And typically, it can cause some pretty bad seedling issues with us. This is just showing you some pictures of the seedling problems with black root rot, and this is more likely in association with root knot. It can cause seedling death, but a lot of times if the root knot's not extreme in these fields, then it can kind of slough that coracle tissue off and regrow, but with root knot, it's quite a bit different. And most of you are well aware of what root knot can do or can cause as far as damage on roots. And you can see on the picture on the right, that's a very young seedling, and it's being inundated by the root knot juveniles. The objectives of this test, again, we wanted to look at this hard pan problem or tillage problem and see if there is a correlation between that hard pan and the efficiency or efficacious control of black root rot and nematodes. You know, does that affect the nematode damage? Does that affect what we're using to control the nematodes? Does nematicides have a greater success rate in minimum till environments? Most of you are well aware we do have implements that can put till on down at the same depth with something like the Yetter that is that does not cause a lot of destruction or move very much soil. And the question is that the same as using deep tillage with the nematicide? Does that change your effectiveness of that nematicide? And then finally, these seed treatments that we use for black root rot, we don't have a lot of good options for black root rot as far as adequate control. We're just wondering whether or not this tillage practice affects that as well and what control we do have. Again, we utilized, the farmer was able to go out and use a paratill better, and he went out and every other 48 rows he went in and ripped. So that gave us a replicated trial of different tillage practices across this field. And then we went in and superimposed our treatments on top of that. Each plot, and this is a nematicide plot, was 12 rows by 100 foot length. And this is our paratill. that was utilized was just a picture of what one would look like. And this is just going in the field. Again, it allows for a little bit, it's kind of like a ripper, but a little bit different. As far as our tell-on, again, we in every 48 rows where the ripped and unripped were right side by side, we treated those with 3 gallons of tell-on in both the ripped and unripped, and then we also had the untreated on both sides of those, and each one was 12 rows. And that just shows one of our tell-on applicators in that kind of a situation. And this is not the right one, but that's not the yetter. That's a mistake as far as the picture goes. But what I want to get to, the meat of this, is there is quite a bit of a difference in what we found. First off, as far as plant height, growth response, this could be just due to the ripping as well as the damage from the nematodes and black root rot, but there was a significant difference in overall plant height from the unripped, untreated, compared to the best treatment that we had, which was the tell-on at 3 gallons ripped. There was 6 inches, right at 7 inches difference in height there. So we were getting a growth response in that. There was even a significant response in both the unrips where you had just the tell-on versus the non-tell-on. So you can tell there is a big difference there. The ripped, having that deep tillage is helping us out quite a bit. Plant dry weights, again, we did see a significant difference there as well. In most of them, the two where we did have significant difference was tell-on ripped versus the unripped, untreated. So there is a trend of stair-stepping amounts of dry weight as you go up the treatments there. Plant height at the 72508 did not show as much of a difference there, but it was numerical. But when you get to the yields, that's the main one I want to point out. We averaged, and these were significant, the tell-on unripped and then the two ripped were significantly different from the unripped untreated. There was almost a 300-pound difference there. And if you look at just the tell-on unripped versus the untreated unripped, there's right at a 200-pound difference there. And then we have a little over 100-pound difference from where you just add the tillage to it. So there is a big difference where we do not rip versus where we do. Looking at the root data, it's very similar. We did see some responses there as well. The tell-on ripped, again, is significantly different from the untreated unripped. And as you go on across, you're seeing similar things. The root rating, and this is a gall rating, and you can see that where you had tell-on, you had significantly less galling. It didn't seem to be affected by the tillage. But the main thing there is, looking at the galling, where you're not ripping, you can go out and pull up those, and if you didn't have some kind of a control there, it just can't get away from the nematode in that top 6 or 8 inches of the soil. So the tillage is helping out quite a bit. We also wanted to look at the fungicide seed treatments, just various things there, and Baytan is one of our better treatments for black root rot. But we also want to kind of do a lot of combinations, and it's really not the treatments that I want to key in here. It's just mainly treated versus untreated in these different in the tillage is what I'm going to get at here. Black root rot, this just gives you a look of what it looks, the chlamydospore production on selective media. We rated the roots after 35 days, plated them out on the selective media, and rated them based on percent of root infected. And looking at the rip versus unrip, in this particular case, we could not replicate the seed treatment trial in like we did with the tell-on. What we did here is just had a replicated seed treatment trial in each of the different tillage practices. It was separated tests is what it was. Same treatments, but they were not replicated as far as the tillage goes. So I just wanted to kind of point out similarities here, and that's why they're colored different. The big letters in this case, nothing was significant, but the trends here, if you looked at just the unripped versus the ripped in the number one treatment, the percent of black root rot infection is quite a bit higher in the unripped. Again, it cannot get away from the disease. It seems to get down about 6 inches and take a sharp turn to the right or left. It just can't get further down into the soil profile and outrun the disease. This is not as evident as the nematode problem is, but if you were in the field, you could see how much of a difference the ripping did help us out as far as the seedling disease here. We did not have a nematicide in with this test, and we should have, because the nematode interaction with black root rot is what's causing us some major issues here. But we just wanted to show the differences in the tillage. So the conclusion, you know, as far as the correlation between hardpan formation and nematode and black root rot damage, in both trials, you know, the ripped field conditions did yield better than the unripped, ranging from 10 to 25% increase in lint yield. Does the soil subsoiling or nematicide application have a greater impact on yield? Sure it does. You know, subsoiling alone increased the lint yield 25%. And Telon did about the same, about 25%. Telon 2 was combined with subsoil, and yield improvement was a little bit more compared to the untreated, and that's about 28%. Again, the seed treatment, we didn't have anything significantly different there, but the root infection tended to be a little bit lower where the plots were subsoiled. Just wasn't any consistent differences in yield because of the nematode problem. Again, we're going to start redoing this. We would like to redo this test again because, again, the reduced tillage is a big production practice as far as cotton goes in the northeast part of Arkansas, so we need to kind of look at that. You know, we want to add soil texture to this as a variable in this system because we are trying to move kind of like we have in conventional practices with the site-specific approaches. We need to understand not only soil texture with this, but how does the hardpan play a role, as well as do some other greenhouse work with that. And with that, that's all that I have. Great. Yeah, Bob.
What's the relative cost to ripping and that land prep where you rip the field? How much does that cost per acre? Do you have any idea? Labor and
I'm not really sure. Greg, what would you say on that? About $10 an acre.
So for $10, and your yields were approaching a ripped field, gave you about the yield return to tell on an unripped field, and you could bump it up again.
Right. It was around 120 to 150 pounds from the rip by itself. So that just shows you that in a hard pan situation, we're hurt. Not at this situation. Not really. I couldn't tell you on that.
Yeah, I was just sitting here talking to Terry about this. This is a northeast Arkansas situation, sandy land. This situation is encountered frequently in the southeast coastal plain, and it's basically solved with a tiller, with a planting instrument, which is a parabolic shank and a strip till rig. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't require another it has to be shown, but.
Right.
Basically, this type of situation is dealt with that planting.
Right.
You have to pull a shank and plant.
That's right. And that's one reason, well, with the strip till situation, that's true. And that's one reason we probably hadn't picked up on this before, is because we really hadn't dealt a lot with quote-unquote no-till type of an approach. So this is...
parallel situation, 15 years different.
Right. So it was quite enlightening just to see, you know, what this might be doing for us.
What depth was the hard pan at?
I'd say, about 8 inches, 8 or 10 inches. It was not very far.
All right.
Thanks.